Last week, we had looked at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, and we looked at the subject of the armor of God. Isn't it interesting that from the foundation of the world, the Lord has known us, foreordained our ways, made provision for us, He has called us, chosen us, empowered us. We are rich in His mercies and grace towards us. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And yet at the same time, the book of Ephesians reminds us that although Satan is a defeated foe, he is still alive and well and seeks to do us harm. He cannot undo the wondrous works that God has foreordained, but he could seek to destroy our fruitfulness, the joy of our salvation. We need the armor of God because there is spiritual warfare. I don't think you have to ponder very long, even looking at circumstances within our congregation. There is spiritual warfare without as well as within. And yet the Lord has given unto us the armor of God. Last week we looked at three observations regarding that armor. We looked at the power of God. In other words, it's His armor and it is His power. We are to be strong in the Lord. We are to be empowered in the Lord and in the power of His might. The power of God is with us. We looked in verse 10 at the power of God. And then in verses 11 through 17, last week we looked at the provision of God. And we saw the body armor that the Lord provides for us. And then we had a brief introduction, not only to the power and the provision of God, but our prayers to God. And we looked at verse 18, and we saw that we have a responsibility in the midst of warfare to be men and women of prayer. This morning, we're going to be looking at three aspects of the primacy of prayer. That's the subject that we are looking at. The priority or the primacy of prayer, the essentiality of prayer as we are putting on the armor of God. We're going to look at the energy of the believer. We're going to look at the entreatment of an ambassador and the encouragement to believers. Let's first of all take a look at verse 18. We're going to look at the energy of the believer. The Word of God says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When he is discussing the energy of the believer, we're going to look at six exhortations that are given to us just in verse 18. First of all, we are told that we are to be praying always. Notice what it says in verse 18. Look at the text. Praying always. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, you recall, gives us that scripture that we are to pray without ceasing. You know, I think of the book of Daniel, chapter 10, when Daniel was in the midst of his enemies and he saw spiritual conflict in the kingdom. He saw God's chosen people being persecuted. Daniel prayed, and in the midst of his prayer, the Word of God says the prince of Persia, which were demonic beings that were literally over pagan nations, fighting against the nation of Israel. The prince of Persia was fighting against Michael. And Michael, the archangel, dedicated to the preservation and the protection of Israel. And by the way, if you believe in replacement theology, you must think that Michael took a hike and that he's gone. Let me tell you, Michael's job is to protect Israel. So don't minimize Michael's power. But he was fighting against the prince of Persia, and Daniel was praying, and he was watching 21 days, spiritual conflict. And then Michael the archangel came and touched Daniel and gave him that special touch for understanding and endowment of power to understand what God was doing. And you know, we need the touch of God in our hearts. Take the time to go home this afternoon and read Daniel chapter 10 and see the ministry of the angel coming to touch Daniel's life. And many of you need that angelic touch. The Word of God says angels are ministering spirits sent to care for those who are the heirs of eternal life. Praying always. You know, we don't pray just when the devil attacks. We need to pray when things are going well. Some people have the idea, just pray when things are going bad. Otherwise, you tell God, well, you can be my co-pilot, move over, let me have the wheel. But the Word of God said we are to daily be in a spirit of dependence. We're to always be in communion with the Lord. We have the table of the Lord before us, and that reminds us of what he has done for us, yes, in the past, but it also reminds us of what he is doing for us in the present and what he promises us in the future. And the very term communion, which is another one of many terms that are used for the Lord's table, it speaks of that spirit which we have in communion, sharing in koinonia together the blessings of the Lord. Practice the presence of the Lord. Pray always, it says in verse 18. Yes, when the devil attacks, it's important to be in prayer, but pray always. Yes, the evil day is going to come. The Word of God says in verse 13, withstand in the evil day. But I hope that you're not waiting till the arrival of the evil day before you be in communion with the Lord. Because if we're far away and we're not practicing his presence, we can make pitiable mistakes in a response in the flesh. Practice the presence of the Lord. We need to take our eyes off of the trial and on to the provision that the Lord has made for us. You remember in 2 Kings 6, don't have to turn to it, just make a reference to it, another blessing you can receive this afternoon after you take your nap. Daniel 10 was the first, 2 Kings chapter 6 is another one, where Elisha was with his servant Gehazi, and they had woken up, and Gehazi gets up early to put the coffee on. And all of a sudden, he looks to the mountainside and he sees Ben-Hadad and his great Syrian army surrounding them. And he says, alas, master, wake up, we perish. We're surrounded by the enemy. Some of you feel that way. And many of you, humanly speaking, would have reason to feel that way. It seems that trials comes. It's kind of like the Morton's salt commercial. When it rains, it pours. You remember that. Well, it seems that way. Trials come from north, south, east, and west. And you remember, though, Elisha's counsel to his servant, fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them. The Word of God in 1 John says, greater is the one that is in us than he that is in the world. Even though you may feel overwhelmed, remember chapters 1 through 5. The Lord has reminded us that God's purposes in our lives will not be thwarted at all. But, oh, pray always. In the evil day? Absolutely. But in the good days as well. Because we are so prone to wander when the good days make us to fall asleep behind the wheel. And I hope that none of you ever do that. Don't ever fall asleep behind the wheel. Now notice there's another exhortation in verse 18. And that is this. Some of you think that this might be redundant. Praying always with all prayer. Does that sound redundant to you? Pray always with all prayer and supplication. You know that word pray, praying. It has the idea of a worshipful prayer. The Greek word is composed of a construction that speaks of face-to-face, a worshiping. Let me suggest to you that we have not really prayed until we practice this aspect of prayer. And you know what it is? Coming before the Lord, laying aside the trial, and giving him the glory that he deserves. Lord, I have many needs. Proof that the Lord wants us to bring our needs to him is the word supplication. Prayer and supplication. The word supplication is where we get the Greek word for personal needs. But do we barnstorm into the presence of God just presenting our needs? Shouldn't we first of all bask in the realities of what God has told us in chapters 1 through 4? Shouldn't we bask in the truths and say, Lord, I'm facing these trials, but I'm claiming the truths that you've given to me in Ephesians 1, that I have been yours, that you've known me from the foundation of the world, that I am the recipient of grace and mercy and truths that you have provided for me, and you've assured for me an everlasting inheritance. And Lord, thank you, and I'm embracing all of these things. And now, Lord, I'm bringing you this need, but I'm not forgetting the provisions that you've given to me. That's the balance that is presented here. Pray with all prayer and supplication. You know, my oldest son, Johnny, has kind of a theme for his church. It's called Think Vertically. What do you think that means? Thinking vertically means that whenever you're presented with trials and difficulties in life, you turn your eyes upward and you think vertically. You think of the truths that God has given to you, that you embrace. Don't think horizontally, concentrating on the adversity or the circumstance. Our peace is not based on circumstance. It's based on the reality of the truths that God has given to us. Think vertically. Oh, that's a good concept to keep before us. So we've seen the energy of the believer. But notice, we're to continue. We're to pray in the Spirit. We are to pray in the Spirit. Oh, that's an important concept that we are to keep in mind. Pray in the Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8, if you will. Because I believe that this scripture will be an encouragement to many of you that are going through some very difficult times in your life. And we need help. We need the Lord's provision. And notice in Romans 8, when it says that we are to pray in the Spirit, it says this, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps our infirmities. When Ephesians reminds us in the midst of the adversities, we are to pray in the Spirit. What it means is that the Spirit takes over when we are weak. Melody and I had the opportunity to have a Skype. You know, 20 years ago, if you would have used that word Skype, I would have thought you were crazy. All of these terms and nomenclatures and terminology that's being thrown around today, Twitter, You know, Twitter, what in the world? This guy's lost his mind. Twitter, you know, tweet me or something like that, you know? Is that a cartoon character or something, you know? But anyway, we Skyped with Lola, and we had prayer with her when she was in Texas, and she was so burdened about her son, her only son, that is literally afflicted with cancer that threatens his life. And we exhorted her to look to the Lord. And she said, yes, but I am so weak. Folks, listen, when you are weak, you're the best candidate for God's strength. He gives his strength to those who have no strength. And we have the Holy Spirit that comes up and bolsters us. And it says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, he helps our infirmities. You look up that Greek word, and it's used in the Old Testament Septuagint about the elders of Israel, the 70 elders of Israel who ministered to Moses so that he might be able to bear the burden. And the Holy Spirit picks up on that, and he says, you know what? I'll hold your arms up. I'll help you. I'll be the one to give you strength. And even though we don't know how to even pray as we ought, the Spirit, literally, autos is a better translation, himself, makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And the idea there is that we have, when we're in the midst of battle, we are to pray in the Spirit, relying upon the ministry of the Spirit of God. I know, because I have been with you for 18 years, and I know that there have been times in your lives, events that have taken place, and you've shared them with me and with Melody, where you have been literally just overcome with grief, where you were just prostrate before the Lord, not able to even communicate the burden, because you were so grief-stricken. But the Holy Spirit is doing that for you. He's your translator. Have you ever been to another country? Brother Dick talks about French, but you've been in various countries. I've been to some places in Africa. I didn't speak Sango, but you know, it's nice to be able to have a missionary next to me. Every time I needed help ordering on the menu or changing currency or something, he was there to communicate for me. Isn't it wonderful that we have the Holy Spirit that does that for us? And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, so often we can be off base on knowing the will of God, but the Spirit is never off base. And he knows and communicates prayer before the presence of the Lord. Let's go back to Ephesians 6, and let's take a look at another exhortation that's found in verse 18. This may seem funny to you. We touched on it Wednesday night. Pray with your eyes open. You ever do that? I was giving you the silly story about the times that Melody and I might be praying in the car. And I say, well, okay, now I'll pray. And I'm driving. And she says, yes, but make sure you got your eyes open. That would be a necessity, wouldn't it? Unless you got a straight as an arrow pathway, and even then you better have your eyes open. Well, here the Word of God says, how does it read? Take a look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching. Pray with your eyes open, keeping on the alert. If you've ever been through a tough trial, I know that every exam I ever took at seminary, I winged up a lot of prayers up to the Lord. I studied as hard as I could, but I said, Lord, please bring the subject matter to my mind as I need it. And some of you that are taking your CPEs or your continuing education classes, and you're always needing to have the divine intervention of the Lord keeping up. You know, it reminds me of Nehemiah. You remember when Tobias and Sanballat were mocking the building of the wall of Jerusalem? The building of the wall is necessary for the defense of a nation. It was in Nehemiah's day too. Oh, better bounce back to political correctness here. But Nehemiah, when Sanballat and Tobias were mocking, the word of God says, Nehemiah had his men working, they were watching, and they were praying as they were building the wall. And we need to be watching and praying as well. Jesus told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, watch and pray. There is the balance, that ye enter not into temptation. In Mark 13, 33, his disciples were to watch and pray because they do not know the hour that the Lord may come. And we don't either. So therefore, there's an aspect in which you pray with your eyes open. You watch and you pray. And we need to be like the children of Issachar, knowing the signs of the times in which we are living in. Number five, there's a fifth exhortation that is given to us in verse 18. It says, with all perseverance and supplication. In other words, pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Stick to it and don't quit praying. Keep on praying. The early church prayed with great fervency in Acts chapter 12 and verse 5 when Peter was imprisoned and God answered prayer. Then also number 6 in verse 18, there's a sixth exhortation, and that is this: we are to pray for all saints. That will keep you in your prayer life from becoming self-centered. How many times do we just pray for our trials and we don't pray for the needs of others? This is why Dick goes to great efforts in preparation of a prayer list that we can maintain and remind one another of the needs of our flock, because we need to pray for one another. We're all members of the family of God, and we need to pray. So we've seen the energy of the believer. But now, in verses 19 and 20, we're going to look at the entreatment of an ambassador. He has a request, an entreatment. And he says in verse 19 and verse 20, he gives, first of all, a request. And it's a twofold request. He says, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. Isn't it interesting? Here he is in prison. Most people would say, you know, I'm in prison. I can't speak a word to anyone about the Lord. I got to watch my P's and Q's. How many times do we pray for pastors that are imprisoned in other countries and they just continue to witness to other Muslims and others that are their captors? And in many cases, some come to know the Lord as Savior. Well, here, the Apostle Paul says, pray for me. Oh, pray for my safety. I'm so scared about getting mugged. No. His main request is that utterance may be given unto me. You know what that tells me? Paul was in prison, but he wasn't imprisoned. Do you see what the difference is? He was in prison. He had his body in prison, but his faith and his utterance was not in prison. He kept on witnessing for the Lord. And he had another request as well. He not only prays that utterance may be given unto him, but that I might open my mouth boldly as I ought to speak. Let me give you a third exhortation here. He gives not only a request, but he gives a reason for his entreatment in verse 20. And that is this: he considered himself an ambassador, yes, perhaps in bonds, But he was free in Christ to give the word of God out. You know what an ambassador is? An ambassador is a representative of his nation. And his citizenship, as ours, was in heaven. And he was an ambassador in bonds, but the word of God is not bound. And that's why his request, that's the reason, but also notice his resolve, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He was resolved to speak boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've seen the energy of the believer and the entreatment of an ambassador, but now I want you to notice the encouragement of believers in verses 21 through 24. He says this in verse 21, "But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things." I want you to notice a few things about the encouragement that Paul is giving believers. Here's the first thing. We are not fighting the battle alone. The Apostle Paul was imprisoned, but he wasn't defeated. He was not fighting the battle alone. We need to remind ourselves that there are other believers in the fight with us. We don't want any of you to feel that you're alone in the burden that you may be facing. We want you to feel confidence that in the family of God you can share and have other brothers and sisters praying for you, not condemning you, but praying for you. Paul, I want you to notice, was an encouragement to the Ephesians. By the strength that God gave him, the Ephesians were emboldened. You know what? My situation isn't as bad as Paul's. He's going on for the Lord. He's praying for utterance. He's praying for boldness. Why shouldn't I? And there's a reciprocation that we see here in these closing verses, that we get strength from each other. Here, the Ephesian believers were receiving encouragement from the Apostle Paul. Notice Tychicus. Tychicus, who was the carrier of the letter, was an encouragement to the Apostle Paul himself. Notice Paul was going to send Tychicus to Ephesus to be an encouragement to the believers at Ephesus. Do you see how there's a crisscrossing in this passage? Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, not for purposes of gossip, but for purposes of encouragement and ministry. And in the body of Christ, there's a crisscrossing of encouragement that we ought to demonstrate. This is why it grieves me when I hear of people that are churchless, people that are out on their own, not faithfully plugged into a place where they can be ministered to, where there can be that reciprocation of ministry. Here, Paul sends Tychicus to Ephesus to be an encouragement. You know, nowhere in the New Testament do we find an isolated believer. The Lord does not want that. I was counseling a young man this last week who's looking for a job, and he just wants to go off, leaving family members and everyone else, and on his own, just venture over to Miami and see if he can find work, and has no connections, no support, no local church ministry. And you know, I warned him about how the devil will attack the lone lamb and seek to bring destruction. And how often we see that. But nowhere in the New Testament do we find God's approval upon an isolated believer. Even when in prison, God always saw to it that there was encouragement. Tychicus came and ministered to Paul, and Paul ministered to the church at Ephesus. There was always communication. And I always counsel individuals that even if for wrongdoing they should be imprisoned, that they get plugged into a prison ministry that will be able to help them to see where north is and get the compass straight. Because there are Christian ministries all around our country and chaplains that love the Lord that are taking the gospel to them. Note the words that Paul uses as he closes his letter. Notice he says here, verse 22, whom I have sent to you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren. Love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Well, the Apostle Paul was a prisoner of Rome, but you know, he was richer than the emperor. No matter what our circumstances may be in Christ Jesus, we are blessed with the spiritual blessings that Ephesians reminds us about. I trust that our study in this wonderful epistle has awakened us and reminded us of the things that God has provided for us. And as we observe the table of the Lord this morning, may we remember that this table represents all that the Lord has provided for us. Let's bow our heads together as our elders will come and prepare the table of the Lord for us. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you've provided for us on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the precious truths, Lord, of your provision on a daily basis for us, and that the Holy Spirit is able to not only minister to us, but to represent us before the throne of grace. And Lord, as we would take these few moments now to remember the provision of our Savior on the cross, it's all because of what you've done for us. And thank you, Lord, that we can remind ourselves on a regular basis of your provision. Thank you that we truly, Lord, are in communion and we're part of the body of Christ. With thanksgiving, we share this in Jesus' name. Amen.